T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is Tom Fitzmaurice with the second course of The Food Show. Here we are sitting here in our studios with Marianne.
Hi.
And a lot of friends who have called in from all over the city today. Got a bunch going on. We'd love to hear from you about anything you've eaten lately that you thought was good or not so good. If you've been to a terrific restaurant in your past that you have found a better version of, call
Allie
us with that. Or anything. Oh, Allie is here?
No, she holds the record for the most disgusting one. Let's have more of those.
You know what I found? Oh, wait a minute. It's gone. I thought I had some of those little gizmos that they serve.
I have my own restaurant report. But
you do?
Looking for restaurant reports, looking for your Christmas plans, your party plans, your champagne plans for the holiday season. It'll be 2020 in no time.
2020?
Nope, just two.
Just 2020. 2020.
Mm-hmm. The year 2020.
Oh, I see.
Yes.
That
as
hadn't
we
even
say
crossed
goodbye
my mind.
To 2019, it will be 2020 before you know it.
Mm-hmm.
All right, the almanac today has the birthday of Baco, which opened
and
1991. When did it close? It was pre-Katrina, wasn't it?
It was, no. The Baco wound up being the first French Quarter restaurant, anyway, that managed to reopen. Ralph Brennan and his cousins, they put it all together. And that was a big success, and they just kept on going with it. But they started, as other restaurants were coming back, there were some other ideas about that. And, it was an Italian restaurant,
it was
really.
It sort of a surprise when it closed, wasn't it?
I was surprised at it. But then again, the Brennans don't just keep something going just because there it is. They do have to do the arithmetic.
It's now Sobu. Anybody been to Sobu lately? Sobu's kind of a unique place.
There are people who just love it.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where they are right now.
I like it.
Yeah. Well, that's good to know.
It's very hip. It's definitely much more casual than the Baco that was in there, than Baco when it was in there.
Yeah, it was a fun place, and they were the only restaurant to really do this on any kind of recruited sort of way.
Do what?
They were bringing in white truffles, which are very close to being the most expensive food of being served in restaurants anywhere. So they really had something
festival,
going.
They had a truffle festival, didn't they, every year?
A who?
It's like a truffle festival.
But you can't get truffles all the time. They are really difficult to get your hands on.
Yeah. Well, anyway, that was Baco. Baco has a distinction in my life.
Yeah?
Yes, which I will not say.
Hmm.
But I have sort of a syndrome now. And I liked Baco. I did, but I had an experience which has created sort of a syndrome for me. But anyway, I thought the food there was really good. And I thought it was a pretty restaurant. I thought it was a really pretty restaurant, actually.
Yeah.
And I was disappointed to see it go.
Yeah, so were a lot of other people. But it was kind of an unlikely restaurant in some ways. I mean, the Brennans, all Irish people, basically, and French, too, I guess. But they kind of turned
Italian
it around
restaurant.
And to turn it into an Italian restaurant.
Well, who doesn't want an Italian restaurant?
Everybody loves it.
Is an Italian restaurant the most most popular of any kind of restaurant?
Oh,
I don't know
that
of any
hamburgers.
Statistics that I could put my hands on right now, but I think that if you ask the next 10 people that would call, isn't that a wonderful fantasy, the next 10 people that will call?
Mm-hmm.
If you Yes. And 10 people have to call now just so we can ask them if Italian restaurant is their favorite restaurant.
Well, yeah, it's worth finding the answer to.
It definitely is for me. Italian restaurant is my favorite kind of restaurant. Today is not beignets. Oh, today's flavor on your almanac is beignets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Anybody been to the new Café Beignet that used to be the old coffee pot?
Coffee pot.
Tom is still traumatized.
Oh, gosh. I really missed that.
By the loss of the old coffee pot. But I feel that it's an improvement, actually. And I think it's a lovely addition to the French Quarter. And still, it's out there. It's hovering out there, maybe for the big event at the 20 TV house at Christmas. I will bring beignets.
Well, good, because we can always use them.
Crab meat beignets.
Beignets. Even that is something a lot of people like.
So let's see. What else is on? Oh, it's liver and onions, Tom.
Yeah. Well, I think the way it's written,
and onions.
You get the your liver and onions first, and then you go in with the rest of the meal. Make pate out of it.
No, apparently yesterday, I guess, but you said this is sort of a fluid thing anyway, but was National Liver and Onions Day. George Minot, I wonder if that's like Minot, Oklahoma. I wonder if he was one of the...
That would be my guess on that.
Born today in 1885, so it's entirely possible that that is named after him, shared the Nobel Prize for Physiology and Medicine in 1934 for developing an extract from liver to treat pernicious anemia. You know what? I think it should be a law about your almanac that you not get into such things in the almanac, especially as I start reading through it and I get into the point I go, I don't want to talk about that. I don't want to hear that. Anyway, liver and onions.
Love it.
Yeah.
We have we have about a half a dozen restaurants in the city that do it.
I know. I was about to say, who
frequently
eats liver and onions and where do they eat them?
Well,
where do they eat it?
The place that comes to my mind right off the bat is that one out there in Metairie.
Furies. Yeah.
They do it once a week. Manali's was doing it.
They do have it.
Yeah.
They do have it.
For a long time.
Yeah, I think they still do have it. You talk about the veal liver lyonnaise with bacon and onions at Clancy's with a side order of
great
grits.
Dish. That was Gerard, Chef Gerard.
Yeah.
I didn't know he was there. Gerard, that's a different Gerard.
Gerard Crozier was there?
Gerard Crozier.
Was that Clancy's? No.
No, no connection.
No.
No connection.
I said Clancy's, not Crozier's.
Crozier's, yeah.
Okay, no, I said Clancy's.
Clancy's
has a lyonnaise with bacon and onions, liver.
Yep.
Yeah, who else has liver and onions out there?
Not too many places.
And do you eat it? I'm asking them. 260-6368. If you would like to call in and tell us where you have had liver and onions lately, and is it something that you look for? I would imagine that people who like liver and onions seek it out.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do have to kind of seek it out. It's not something that's everywhere on a menu, for
well,
sure.
The advantage is that onion, all of that stuff that comes together, the liver and onions, cooks pretty easily and quickly. So you can get it in the pan, sear it off a little bit, and throw a little bit of liquid in there to give you a sauce, and then there it is. It's done, and you eat it, and you love it, unless, you know, you have a problem.
Unless you don't eat it, because I don't eat it.
No?
Not surprising to anyone, I'm sure.
That then again, you're a vegetarian, aren't you?
You know what? I would say that was a joke on Tom's part, but it may not be. And to that, I would say 30 years, Tom, 30 years.
Yeah, seems to be headed that way.
So buttermilk sky is something that you have here. Music to Eat Biscuits by Old Buttermilk Sky by the K. Kaiser Orchestra with vocals by Mike Douglas. Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that interesting?
Mike Douglas did that?
But yeah, he was a singer.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He did a great song called...
Mike Douglas. I used to like his talk show.
Yeah. Yeah, well, he was a talk show guy, and then he became
a
singing.
Yeah, I thought
singing.
He was a good talk show host.
He was he did a lot of singing.
Yeah. I guess you can do both of those things. Marie Osmond is now on the talk, Anyway, it was a number one hit today in 1946. A buttermilk sky
buttermilk
is like
sky.
A mackerel sky covered with bigger, rounder little clouds.
Ba-ba-da. Oh, I can't remember the lyrics anymore.
I thought you were going to talk about buttermilk. So this is so gross.
Buttermilk?
No. There was an avalanche in the pantry, which is overloaded. And so I decided for Thanksgiving.
Oh, ours.
Yes,
oh,
ours.
I see.
So I decided that we have a refrigerator in the pantry. And so I decided that that I would, before we do another party or a bunch of cooking like we did for Thanksgiving. And this is something I really should have done before this Thanksgiving, because it's really hard to be looking for things and to know that they're in this big pile of stuff, but you don't really have time to excavate it. And so you just keep going, but you're really missing something that you need. Which
you
is
start
what happened,
sooner is what you
which
need
is
to
what
do.
Happened for Thanksgiving. Yeah. So anyway, so I decided after it was over that I was going to excavate this situation. And so there was this smell that was really disturbing. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I don't know what that could be. I'm frightened about this. And so when I moved a couple of things around, it was worse. And it occurred to me when I found this half gallon of buttermilk, or maybe a quart of buttermilk.
There always seems to be one in the refrigerator.
There's like 15 of them is the problem.
They're always there. I don't know where. Who
just,
puts
they're,
it there?
They're everywhere. So what happens is we have buttermilk, and then we use half the buttermilk, and then Tom, who swears up and down that buttermilk can never go bad, trust me, it can. I guess it came out of that refrigerator and just never did go back in. And so it turned out that the horrible smell was buttermilk. Not that anyone really needed to hear that story, but it's been thrown away now. But we have to go through all of those buttermilks and do something with them. Buttermilk, it's like we could do like a coffee cake.
No,
I'll make you a nice coffee cake, Tom.
I actually use that occasionally in the cheesecake.
Oh, but no, not, I hope you didn't do it in the last
often.
Cheesecake.
Not often. It's the same.
There are buttermilks of various degrees in our house that really need to be gone through. Anyway, 260-6368 is the number. Britney Spears was born in Kentwood in 1981, and you were wondering if she likes asparagus. You know what?
We do?
I was trying to figure out what that meant, and then I realized Spears. Okay. You know, I bought some asparagus when I was at the store for a last-minute run before we cooked Thanksgiving stuff. And they had those little, tiny, thin spears of asparagus, little babies.
Yeah.
Which I always buy because they look good, and I think, oh, I'm going to make some asparagus, even though I don't even like asparagus.
Mm-hmm.
But I bought them thinking that we should take some to Thanksgiving. Well, they're in the refrigerator. They're probably never going to get made. But I think it's because I just don't like asparagus.
Could be.
You love asparagus, though, don't you?
I love it gently. But it's not a big, big deal for me. But I do like it. And if you ever go out west and find yourself a place where they're raising it, it'll blow your mind what that looks like.
Yeah.
What you have to do to make to raise asparagus. They're not anything like what you thought.
Where is that, Tom?
California, very widely.
Yes,
but
I'm
other
sure.
places too.
Our food basket. I like asparagus.
Which one?
In Italy.
Yeah.
Why is that, do you think?
Why do you like asparagus in Italy?
In Italy only.
They would put a good spin on it. And in fact, over the years, we've had a few restaurants here that have done kind of Italian style.
I find their asparagus less woodsy.
Less woodsy?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think asparagus is woodsy. That's what I don't like about it.
When Chef Duke was still around in the French Quarter, mm-hmm. he had something along these lines, asparagus and Italian stuff.
No, I like an asparagus
It was the best
soup.
Thing he did.
I like asparagus soup. Like a cream of asparagus soup, I can definitely do that.
Mm-hmm.
That's about the only kind of asparagus that I really like. I don't know why. I just it's not a flavor that I enjoy. 260-6368 is the number. You're listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
It's going to be kind of a cold night tonight. Be ready for that. But it's kind of getting kind of cold in some other places, too. 260-6368. We're always open for anything you want to ask or tell. Oh, just call that phone number.
It's been beautiful weather this weekend.
260-6368. Yeah, yesterday we went to dinner, lunch, at the Lake View.
I love that place. I love it, love it, love it.
You know, you would think we would have more restaurants that overlook Lake Pontchartrain there when there are very, very few of them. We went to one of them.
It's a heavily residential area.
Yeah, but still, I mean, there's a lot of places where you can park a car, and then you've got this huge, huge view.
Yeah, but there are no buildings like that. Let's see, there's Rips.
Yeah.
There's Lake House.
Lake House, which is...
There's that pretzel place. What's the name of that place?
Pretzel?
Anybody know the name of that place that's right next to... I'm totally drawing a blank on that, but it's the same people that own the old Iron Rail Brewery.
Oh,
I'll have to think of it. Anyway, it's like a German pretzel beer kind of place.
So pretty close to the...
very limited menu, all about the beer.
It is that.
And then there's the place that's right behind that law office on the corner of Girard and the lakefront. And that is a beach house, just like a beach shack with that kind of food. But the Lake House is just so wonderful. It's just,
it's really good at night, too. We hardly ever go there.
I definitely have buffet proclivities, I will say that.
Yeah? Why would that be? What advantage do you have if you're getting your food as much as you want?
Well, it's not so much as you want. It's what you want.
Well,
you can do it exactly what you want. Like yesterday, there was this gigantic buffet with, I don't know, 6 or 7 dishes. And they had a soup and they had salads and they had some hot food and dessert, and they had an omelet station and a carving station. And what I got was an omelet with every imaginable vegetable and some bacon, and that was it. I didn't even get any of the flank steak on the carving station. So essentially, I paid buffet price to have breakfast, which is what it was. Now, of course, to be fair, we did eat more than that because Pete, when he sees Tom, will cook some stuff for Tom just for fun. So Tom...
He's a great chef.
Tom, he is a good chef. He's a really good chef. So he didn't eat anything off the buffet. Tom ate his own thing, which was like a creamy Rockefeller spinach base with fried oysters on it. And then a filet mignon sliced with fried oysters over a demi-glace and some kind of creamy sauce. It was all really, really good because Pete is really good. But, I did have 2 chicken nuggets. I had 2, they had like little ball chicken nuggets, like the kind you would get at Wendy's, only twice as big and 10 times better.
Mm-hmm.
But what I love about it is it's just such a wonderful environment. The weather was beautiful. We were eating outside under an umbrella. There was jazz music in the distance, and by that I mean 2 tables over. Kids were scampering around. People were swinging under the oak trees. There was a lot of activity on the road right in front. The light was dancing. The sunshine was dancing off of the lake. And it was just a wonderfully pleasant place to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said a million times, I'm all about the atmosphere. But, you know, it was delightful. So, no, it wasn't about the buffet and how much I could eat, because I didn't eat that much. But it was about, I mean, I didn't even get any of the cheesecake. He does a crab meat.
Oh, this is Stove Pete, yeah.
Pete does a crab meat and shrimp cheesecake, which I'm going to try for Christmas. I've been threatening to do that for a while, but I'm definitely going to try it for Christmas. And
you did that for Thanksgiving once. That's the first place I ever saw that.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't even remember that, but I really definitely do want to ask him for his recipe for that. But I didn't even eat any of that, and I love that. It's just that it was just about being there, you know? And
well, you'll get another chance.
No, I know. I mean, as often as I can. But I really do love being there. Anyway, that was what we did for lunch yesterday. That was the only meal we had, because there's something about a buffet where the omelet that you get is going to be three times larger than the one that you would cook for yourself. So we were kind of full. But anyway, it was a lovely, lovely time. I just had a great lunch with my sister, whose birthday was yesterday. And we went to Desi Vega Steakhouse in Metairie.
Still real good?
I love that place for, you know, it's like there's not a lot of places of that caliber in Metairie.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really nice to go there and have that real quiet white tablecloth experience. It's not expensive, although they did get smart. They did have this crab meat Louis salad that was some obscene price of $16, where it was a buttermilk dressing. Their buttermilk dressing is fantastically
good.
Yeah,
that's a classic.
Delicioso. Anyway, it had crisp lettuce and some hearts of palm and this great buttermilk dressing. And then it had crab meat on it, too. I think a hard-boiled egg as well. And I used to always get that there, and I went to get it today, and it's not $16 anymore. They got smart.
Oh, well.
It's now $12 without the crab meat, and with the crab meat, it's an extra $12. So that salad went from $16 to $24, so I did not get it today.
Rats.
I got a shrimp remoulade, which I've never gotten there.
No.
And it was very generous. It was $16. And it was five or six very large shrimp in a great remoulade sauce over a bunch of shredded iceberg lettuce. It was absolutely plenty enough to eat for lunch. And it was really, really good. And my sister she loved the amuse. I told her that this is the best amuse in town, and it is always the same. And it's something, you know, it's like you go to a restaurant, and they're doing great things. It's a delicious restaurant, but still your favorite thing is the bread.
Oh, yeah. People
can't. At Cochon, or in this case, the amuse at Desi Vega. And they probably get insulted to hear that, because these are kind of their throwaway things. But if it's really good, and it's really good, and you would go someplace for whatever it is, you know? So the meatball, Desi's grandmother's meatball, is the standard amuse there. And I just get so titillated when one is coming to the table, because it's really that good.
Hmm.
So my sister agreed with that, and she got the meatball poor boy. She wanted more of those meatballs, so she got the meatball poor boy, and it comes with homemade chips, which are also very good. And it was a lovely meal. And then I realized, wait, after we had already paid the check, I said, you know, this is your birthday lunch. Let's see if they do a dessert here. And they did. And so she had a piece of cheesecake, which was a gorgeous, gigantic piece of cheesecake. And it was, they said a chocolate cheesecake, so I was expecting it to be an actual chocolate cheesecake, but it was not. That's what you need to do, Tom.
What?
The next time you do a cheesecake, make it a chocolate cheesecake. You've never done
okay.
that. You've
done I never have. You're yeah. right.
Well, you don't like chocolate, so.
Well, I don't like it the way that chocolate fiends like it. Because that's.
Chocolate fiends are a special breed.
Yep, yep.
They absolutely are. And I readily admit to being one of them. 260-6368 is the number. We're just, you know, sitting
Coofing
around.
Off, yeah.
Doing the usual, talking about food. Tom, while you were talking to me earlier, the Carnival Cruise Line ship. And
it
I
left?
Don't even know what it is. Oh, it's Monday and Thursday that it goes out. So it's probably
yeah.
the one that does go out. I
yeah,
don't know
to
which
the Caribbean.
One it is. Yeah, it's like a 3 or 4 day cruise. I've never been here on a Monday before,
no?
though, so I've never seen it go out. But it went. It went, I guess, at 4 o'clock.
Something like that.
Yeah. Anyway.
You can almost always hear it because they have this sound that's a very deep sound, and they repeat
the horn.
It several. And
the
it,
horn? It's really loud.
The horn, yeah.
Very loud.
But it's really loud
Speaking
and really
of
low.
Yeah. There's a new Caribbean-inspired restaurant in town.
There is? Where is it?
It's called Nola Cay.
Nola Cay. So it's got a New Orleans swing to it?
Well, it's New Orleans, the Caribbean connection to New Orleans.
Mm.
And it features those connections.
Hmm.
And it's in a very cool spot. It's not, I don't even know if it's really open yet. It's going to be open in the next day or two. If it's not open, they wanted to open yesterday, but you know how that goes.
Hmm.
It's right, I don't know that street, but it's right behind Noki. The New Orleans Center for Hospitality
oh,
or
uh-huh.
whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever that street is, the cobblestone street that shoots off of Howard.
St. Joseph's.
Oh, thank you. That
yeah.
is that. That's
mm-hmm.
exactly it. Yeah. So it's on the corner of St. Joseph and I want to say Barone. It's Barone. That's it. It's Barone and St. Joseph. And it's a very cool place. It's got these little penny tiles that are original to the building.
Penny tiles. Didn't she used to...
She was a girlfriend of yours, wasn't she?
Well, not for long.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah, they never are.
Tell me about it.
260-6368 is the number. There's those tire treads across your back again, Tom. WWL 105.3 FM HD2.
Ding. The food show. And here we are. You know, it's here every day, Monday through Friday, sometimes even on the weekends. And we talk about eating, restaurants, cooking, wine, and the entire range of all of the good stuff. And if you know what tastes good and you know what kind of salad is the best kind and the place to go to get really good service, and you're not quite sure what the answers are to all those questions, call us, and we will not only give you a few ideas, but we will get more of them from our listeners because they are always stoked with very many good things to say about dining out and dining in or out. And this is right now the holiday season, so there's plenty to be discussed. 260-6368.
Hi, Steve.
Hello. How are you? How did Mary Lee's cake come out?
She didn't
I don't know.
It.
You ask her.
It didn't come out. She didn't do it.
Oh, she didn't do it. Okay.
No.
Okay. Also, that those TV shows with Martha Stewart and Emeril on Channel 26, mm-hmm. 3, I seem to be about 10 years old because I've heard them mention dates occasionally. So it was 2009, 2010 mm-hmm. when... So,
well, but, then she probably looks better than she does now, but she still does look pretty good. Emeril,
yeah,
not so
I think
much.
She's, yeah. No, yeah. yeah. Emeril's really, his hair is really thinning, which I think tends to age you quicker.
It does.
Anyway, I've not heard much about injecting turkeys with a big old horse needles. My niece always does, and her father did before her. And I'm not especially crazy about injecting,
big
needles.
Seems like cheating, you know?
I just think that you get a slice of turkey and part of it is injected and the rest of it isn't.
Exactly.
Many people aren't doing it anymore. Although, I forget what grocery store I was in. They had a whole table of injector, where you got the quart of injection fluid and it came with a big needle. So
it's funny how things are trends, the big fried turkey trend was a few years ago. The turducken was even longer ago than that. And I think people are kind of gradually coming back to the fact that a roast turkey cannot be beat. Anyway, how was your Thanksgiving with your 50 people?
Well, it was only 40-some. We knew a bunch of them were going away, so it ended up only being about 45 instead of 55.
And your bread was a big hit?
Yeah, it was,
Well, I hope to have a report on the gluten-free cake next time, but the Fitzmaurices were so, I don't know, ambivalent about what Thanksgiving would bring this year, that nobody really did anything until Wednesday night when we went out to get things. And it was really hard to find things that late because we'd never waited that long before. And then, and also Mary Lee was sick over the weekend. So she didn't get up early enough to do the cake, which is a good thing because there wasn't really room for her to be working in the oven either. So it was sort of, let's just say it was a slacker Thanksgiving in the Fitzmaurice house.
It seemed like we had a pretty good bit going on, but,
She did, instead of the cake, you know what she did? She did cheese biscuits. She did a bacon and cheese biscuit. She used her buttermilk biscuit recipe and put a lot of crumbled bacon and a whole lot of cheese, and they were really great. Really great. Yeah. So that was her contribution.
Okay, and you did make your crab cheesecake?
Tom made a satsuma cheesecake, but it didn't look like Tom's cheesecake.
No, it didn't, because
it was a mere shadow of its former self.
There was something coloring the top. There was something missing from it, but I discovered that there were a bunch of things missing when I was putting it all together. Like, I have a kind of a mental law that if you need some brown sugar, don't bother to go to the store. You've got plenty of it in your pantry. I'm telling you, you don't even have to ask. It's in there. It's jammed with it.
We don't know what's in our pantry, but I do have a better idea after I excavated.
Oh?
The cheesecake was sort of a culinary metaphor for Thanksgiving. It was a mere shadow of its former self. Tom's Thanksgiving cheesecake is generally speaking about 3.5 inches high. This one was an inch high because we made them get out of the oven, and so it kind of caved in.
Yeah, that's what happened.
It was still really good, though. It tasted really good.
Yeah.
And I made up yesterday, my niece had her Thanksgiving dinner because they worked in 24-hour operation, so she had it on Sunday instead of Thursday.
It's 4-4-4-4-4.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
So I made a peanut butter pie, which I hadn't made in about 10 years.
Ooh, was it good?
And everybody loved it,
Now,
and believe it or not, I make it with confectionery sugar, and I had to go to 4 grocery stores before I found confectionery sugar.
Wasn't everything
I don't know
what sold out? What was like a run on the bank or something? Yeah. There was nothing on the shelves.
And I've yet to figure that out. If you're going shopping for Thanksgiving, you think you would go shopping 2 or 3 days before so you can get your frozen turkey and thaw your frozen turkey out rather than at the last Wednesday afternoon, for
That was us. Wednesday afternoon, evening, we went, and there was nothing on the shelves.
Yes.
I had to get...
I mean, how do you thaw your turkey out?
Well, we didn't do the turkey this year.
I know, but I mean, you know, what I'm... Typically, people are going out to buy a turkey and then all the things they need with it. So why are you doing it on a Wednesday afternoon? You should do it on, you know, Tuesday
at least. Right, yeah. No, this was definitely... I learned a few things of what happens out there in the rest of the world land. Our Thanksgiving has been like a week's worth of preparation in the past, and this was, you know, kind of what a lot of other people do. And I thought, you know what, this is not for me. We're going to do this earlier next year.
And, you know, everybody freaks out now about, you know, that you have to let the turkey defrost in the refrigerator, not leave it on out on the counter overnight.
Brine it. That's what you need to do. Brine it.
That's true. I threw a couple of your brine things away in the excavation, by the way, Tom. The crust on your peanut butter pie, what was it?
It was chocolate graham crackers.
Oh, are there? They make chocolate graham crackers?
Yeah, I bought it at the grocery store.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to have to, Mary Lee was thinking about making a ganache tart, which I would consider doing next time, but we have to make some shortbread cookies to crumble before we make the tart crust. So that might be our project for next time.
And does Mary Lee listen to the radio broadcast every day?
No. Why?
No. I just wondered. I mean, her name comes up often, and I can just hear her in the background going, "Are you talking about me again?"
No, she finds it too painful. It's too painful. I made her listen to it one time just because I was saying something, and I wanted her to hear what I was talking about. And she decided that it wasn't nearly as painful as she was expecting it to be. But that doesn't mean she's looking for it. So, anyway. She tends to stay away from us, if at all possible. All right. Thank you, Stephen.
Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
260-6368 is the number.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about Thanksgiving wrap-ups. If you have a great story about Thanksgiving, we'd love to hear it. Also, looking ahead, because it's time to look ahead to the holidays.
It usually is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of holiday plans do you have?
Oh,
what
well.
Holiday parties.
Should we start talking to them, Tom? Oh, I'm.
But go ahead. Go ahead. Tell us. What are your holiday
plans?
Well,
nobody else was talking, so I figured I'd jump. I'm already thinking about what you drink while you're putting up your Christmas tree.
Oh, eggnog.
Eggnog.
Yes.
Yeah. And starting to come up with some variations on that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're into the whole scene and we start getting gifts and things. You think that'll happen? I keep wondering.
Of course, Tom, you're going to get gifts. You're the only one that gets gifts.
Really? Oh, we'll have to fix
that. I did something completely
What was it?
Out of character this weekend.
Something completely of character?
I was one of those people online buying things before Cyber Monday ended.
Oh.
I've never done that before.
What is
but
that?
I like it.
What do you like about it?
I can see what everyone likes about it. What do I like about it? Well, it's a lot cheaper, for one thing. And I saw, quite by accident, I saw some, we got a Crate and Barrel catalog, which I love to look through just because I love the interiors of, you know, the photography. I'm not really even looking at the products, but I like the houses that they're photographed in. And I saw these adorable little plates for my little guys. And so I ordered them for them to eat their sausage.
I was thinking hamburger, but here they are again.
And then I got carried away and started buying other stuff. And then I thought, well, gosh, if that was so good, let me order some things that I regularly order at Cyber Monday prices, which I did. So, but don't worry, you've got gifts coming, Tom. I haven't bought them yet.
Oh,
I haven't bought them yet.
Tom
wants a coffee maker for Christmas, something that we gave him 2 years ago, which sat for 2 years.
I couldn't figure out how to make it work.
Yeah. Well, so what makes you think that you would be able to do that with another one?
Because I've
been running
into a lot of these things, and they always seem to work now.
Well, that's because when you go to California, they work because they make it for you.
And then, that must be it.
And you get all excited about their coffee situation there, and then you want to do it at home, but then you never do. Anyway, Tom had this Pyrex glass saucepan, a small little Pyrex glass.
Oh, I like that thing.
Saucepan that you were warming coffee in.
Yeah.
For a while, and it had this coffee crust in it that was like cracked earth. And every now and then I would take a razor blade and clean that out. And it had just like this base of coffee every day. And then we got a microwave, which we haven't had in something like, I don't know, 6 years. And so Tom went back to doing his coffee in the microwave. And so now I've been able to almost get that pot back to its original state. But we did the glaze for the ham for Thanksgiving.
Mm-hmm.
And there must have been some coffee in there that was imparted.
Oh, the glaze that you make when you make the ham, it's so immovable. It gets into everything. That's why I always tell people, get a throwaway container of some kind when you put this in the oven, because if you don't, there's going to be a very thin film of irremovable
crust.
Yeah, you'll never
sugar,
get it loose.
Burned sugar.
Yeah, so we did that and made that change, but it takes so long to get a cup of coffee going that it just gets under my skin.
Anyone who's ever wanted to know what the root beer glazed ham looks like, there is a picture of it on nomenu.com today in the Thanksgiving wrap-up for the Fitzmaurice family.
Oh. I didn't even see that.
Shiny, large, scored globe. And it's black.
Sure is that.
Black. 260-6368 is the number. You are listening to WWL 105.3 FM HD2. And we are talking about the usual, just food and such, things
and
having to do
of
with
it.
Food. Tom, there's something in your almanac.
Yeah.
Which I've never heard of.
Oh, what is it?
And it's called a Coca-Lon. It's called and it sounds yucky.
I know what you're talking about.
It's a Coca-Lon.
A what?
A coal cannon.
Coal cannon.
Like coal cannon.
Coal cannon. That's how you
say it. That's what it is. Coal cannon.
It's a.
It looks like coal cannon. Oh,
it's an Irish tradition.
Yes. And further proof that Irish don't know how to eat. Go ahead.
Well, you know that they're getting better at it.
It's hearty. It's hearty food. Hearty hot Irish dish made of cabbage, leeks, mashed potatoes, butter, salt and pepper, and serve throughout the year as a vegetable side in traditional Irish homes and restaurants.
And especially on St. Patrick's Day.
Well, sometimes other vegetables or even meats are added to it, like ham, carrots, onions, and bacon. Every housewife has her own version of coal cannon, and it's been compared with British and Welsh dishes, but the Irish claim it as their own. I'm sorry. I know we had the Irish lady on who's quite the gourmet, but I'm still underwhelmed by Irish food.
Oh, well, you know, they have other customers they can work on.
Well, anyway, it was a little bit. I will say this, though. Is shepherd's pie of Irish origin?
British.
Oh. Okay.
You have
that's really good if you do it right. Not the kind you get in the school cafeteria.
Yeah, it's there's several different kinds of doing it, but everybody's got a different approach to it.
I make a pretty good one based on the one that you taught me how to make.
Also, if you take a look at that word and you start looking around,
shepherd's pie
and shepherd's pie in particular, and there are other things that you can make shepherded with. Anyway, you when you start messing around with that, you realize, if you think about it at all, that all along the Mediterranean, no matter where you go, starting in France, Spain, France, the Middle East, Greece, all along there, you will find something that is a layered combination of meats and vegetables of various kinds. And they look a lot alike and they taste a lot alike, but they're all over the place. And it makes me think that all of the people who originally cooked for people who live in the Mediterranean were buying into a long-term deal.
Well,
the Turks, that's a good point.
Thank you, Doug.
Because they were on everybody's
list. Everywhere, yeah. For sure. The mac and cheese that I made for Thanksgiving, yeah. I saved a little bit. I gave most of it to our neighbor, and I saved a little bit of it in case Mary Lee wanted some, but she didn't the next day. So whenever I have chicken bones from a rotisserie chicken, I just boil them for like a bone broth. So I decided to make, I had some of that, and I decided to make my own little gravy, and I spooned the gravy over the mac and cheese, and it was like having, it's like chicken and dumplings.
It is kind of like that. Even the dumplings themselves are kind of like that.
Well, that's basically what it is,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a gravy, soupy,
yeah.
Kind of gravy,
layered
with
out
pasta in it, and it's
protein,
it's
carbohydrate, protein,
shredded and yeah. Braised chicken all together in this divinely comfort food kind of situation. And I loved it, and I had it, and I thought, this is like eating chicken and dumplings, which I crave from the bottom of my heart because I'm basically a comfort food person.
Lasagna,
and it was
is
really,
the same
really
thing.
Great.
Yeah, when
well,
you
this,
think about it,
I like lasagna, but I don't think of it the same way. I think of chicken and dumplings as kind of a looser thing,
uh-huh.
And this was that.
Yeah, well,
was,
what I'm saying
really
is,
great.
If you look at either one of those dishes, you analyze them visually. You see that they have this layered thing, and it mixes up with the starches and then with the with the meats and everything.
Well, it becomes a solid mass.
Yeah, I mean, but it's an interesting thing.
And that's a really great thing. Who doesn't love pasta?
Huh? Say what?
I mean, I don't feel good after I've eaten a lot of pasta.
Oh.
But what
okay.
A way to go, because it's really good. I love pasta.
Yeah, well, I guess that's a good way of looking at it.
That was the problem with our mac and cheese this time. There wasn't any salt in it. I've decided I don't salt anything when I'm cooking, and I feel like if you want extra salt, you can put it on there. But this time I actually did kind of salt a little bit of the mac and cheese, because in our tester bowl, it definitely needed salt.
That's
it was
one
a
of
weird
those,
mac and cheese this
those,
time. It was very
those
weird.
Those football games, huh? Fester bowl?
Speaking
that's coming
of
up.
Football games.
What?
That Saints
yeah.
game was pretty was pretty crazy, I have to say.
Yeah.
Anyway, we are done for the evening, folks. So check in tomorrow with us.
Yeah.
We were hoping that Timely would call, but again, work called for them, and we'll hope to get them on Wednesday. Have a wonderful evening, everyone.
Thank you.
Good night.
It's been
WWL.
Nice having fun with you.
105.3 FM, HD2.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.